Well, today is a wonderful day. I don't know, I just been waking up every day happy, joyful, excited. I woke up this morning saying my normal sayings every morning. The 2020 is the best year ever. The 2021 is going to be even more awesome. The COVID-19 cannot live in my body. That this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm excited about what's going on. I know that a lot of people are not really excited right now. In fact, some of you are actually, I don't know if you remember back in during the first part of COVID, actually when I don't think anybody was in the auditorium except for our volunteers, I preached a message based on a song that I used to skate to at Skate World, double sessions every Saturday, called Freak Out. Remember the song? And that's what everyone was doing, you know, whenever COVID first hit. But I just think that people are singing that song again. It seems like I look at my news feed on Facebook and everybody's singing that Freak Out song again. You know, and people are going crazy. People are asking me all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, it's, you know, they just don't understand. And then someone, you know, they're asking me, well, but what about all the prophecies and stuff? And so I'm going to give you a Brother Hagin answer, the answer that my grandfather would say about that. He says, well, you know, it was either God or not. We'll see. That's what my grandfather would say. You know, man, I'm not freaking out. I want to give you a verse, and in fact, people say, well, man, you have to have an opinion. Well, I'm an opinionated person, you know, and I do have an opinion, but it's not my job to give you my opinion. It's my job to give you what the Bible says. I never give you my opinion on what's going on. If you want my opinion, go to Facebook. But, you know, it's not about that. It's about telling you what the Word of God tells us. All right, and I want to start in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse number 27, and I'll start out reading this from the New King James Version. And this is what Jesus told his disciples, right before that, you know, he died upon that cross. He said these words, "Peace I leave you with. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so today, I bring you peace. Peace be still. Walk in peace. I mean, Jesus gave us commandment, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah, but what's going to happen? I don't know. Well, I don't understand. Me either. Well, what do you say? New Living Translation says it this way. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Now, if somebody gives you a gift, why don't you use the gift? I mean, this wasn't a gift that I gave you for your birthday that you used two times and threw on the shelf or something like that. This isn't a video game that I gave my kids that they played for a week and then said they were bored of it and never played it again. This is a gift that we have for a lifetime. Peace I give you. This is the New Living says peace of mind and peace of heart. Let's not forget the gifts that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny that when things happen that we don't know how to explain, then instead of going to the Word, we try to figure out how to explain it. Well, what does this news source say? And what is that news? You can't believe the news. I don't care what channel you watch. But you know, one thing we can believe is the good news. The Word never changes. The Word's been relevant for us from generation to generation to generation to generation. You know, the beginning of the Word was the beginning of the earth. The end of the word is the end of the earth. Do you realize that? Genesis is the beginning, Revelation is the end, and we got a lot of stuff in between. And you know, I learned as a young kid and all growing up, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's simple. We've all heard my grandfather say that, or you've read it in his books. So, if I have the word, why am I freaking out? Why am I having a tough time? Well, because you're not a doer of the word. Now, I pray every time before I minister to help us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. If you're a doer of the word, then you have peace in the middle of turmoil. And this doesn't just say, it says, I like it here because it says peace of mind and peace of heart. See, not only do you have peace down here, you have peace up here. Now, sometimes in order to have a peace of mind, you have to renew your mind. You know, and it's all okay, guys. Everything is okay. You know, it's 2021, gonna be my best year ever. 2022 is going to be even better. 2023 is going to be better than that. And I'll keep going and going and going and going and going and going. And you know what? I don't know who my governor officials are going to be. I don't know who's going to be the mayor. I don't know who's going to be the city council members. I don't know who's going to be the governor. I don't know who's going to be in Congress. But I know who's going to be on the throne. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God, and I change this not. You know, here in America, we change rulers all the time, whether it be city, state, you know, or national. I mean, you know, you vote for a president, rules for the next 4 years. But our God rules for the rest of our life. He was ruling before you showed up, and he'll be ruling after you pass away. Now, the great thing about it, you'll be able to join him up there and watch him rule from heaven. The Bible also talks about Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, I preached, you know, this the other night. You know, if Jesus can hang around with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during the fiery furnace, he get them through their toughest time that they ever had in life. Surely he could get you through a few disappointments that you have in life. And the thing is, they came out unscathed. And so can you if you'll put your trust in him. You know, God is still God. And the things that we worry about sometimes are really kind of small in comparison to life, comparison to the world. Goes on to say, and the peace I give as a gift, the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm here to tell you, a lot of people are troubled and afraid. That's anti-God's word. Anti-God's word. I'm not troubled nor afraid. And I'm excited about what lies ahead. I believe the best days of this church are ahead. I believe that revival is upon us. I pray for it every day. I pray for revival. Every time I preach, I pray for revival. And I believe that a great revival is upon us. We're at the doorstep of a great revival. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what happens with this election, no matter what the outcome is, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, our nation is divided and will continue to be divided, and it's not gonna get any better. But you know what? Our God is still God. You know, as we sat and had praise and worship and begin to sing songs, you know, I'm like, man, I wish people really believed the songs that they're singing. You know, how our God is so much greater, and you know, how you know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, obviously, the verse that I call my keynote verse, I know most people think it's John 10:10, but it's Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. And that's what I do every day. When I face disappointments, when I face tragedies, when I face things that I don't understand, what do? I put my trust in God. I put my trust in God, and I say it all the time. You know, even our government tells us to put our trust in God. You know, you pull it out of your pocket. If some of you carry cash, a lot of you don't carry cash anymore because nobody likes to take it. Well, they'll take your cash. They just don't want to give you change back. But in the back of your money, on your change, it says, in God we trust. Doesn't say we trust in the government. Doesn't say we trust in our news sources. Doesn't say we trust in anything. Doesn't even say we trust in our preachers. See, a lot of people put a lot of trust in their ministers. And, you know, I thank God for ministers of the gospel, you know, great men and women. But we don't put our trust in people, and that's the problem. We have put too much trust in too many people. But even our money says that in God we trust. You know what? We've had leaders come and go, whether it be American leaders or other foreign leaders. I mean, you know, they've come and gone. Some of them have done good. Some of them have done bad. Some of them, I'm not sure what they've done. You know, but it's all good. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, because I don't know, there are some people on Facebook today that, you know, you would think God fell off the throne. You would think that God was surprised with the outcome. You would think a lot of things. You know what I think? I think I'm happy. I think I'm joyful. I'm just as happy yesterday as I was the day before. I was just as happy on November the 2nd as I was November the 3rd, November the 4th, November the 5th, November the 6th. November the 7th, November the 8th, November the 9th, November the 10th, November the 11th, December the 25th. Maybe I'm more happy on December the 25th, actually. That is, if people remember to give me the right Christmas presents. But of course, it's not really about Christmas. It's about the right Jesus. You know, a lot of people are looking for the right stuff, and they need the right Jesus. I mean, I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's going to be the last part of my sermon. This is all preview. It's not really preview. I'm just trying to bring peace. You know, the same thing that Jesus did whenever he left. See, Jesus says here, I leave you peace, so go in peace. Don't worry about it. Because, you know, the reason that Jesus especially did his disciples, because he knew in a few days, it was going to be a little turmoil. And they were going to be sad. But then they had the third day. Then they had the third day. The third day. When there wasn't sadness or turmoil any longer. You know, just be patient. And you'll have the third day. There'll be times in your life, not just in this time, but in lots of times in your life, that you'll have disappointments, you'll have things you don't understand. But man, if you'll stay grounded on God's word, you'll have that third day experience. And now, I'm not here to tell you he's going to come back out of the grave again, okay? I'm telling you that he's already come out of the grave. He's already at the right hand of the Father. You know, as we accept him as our Lord and Savior, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is in our heart. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us.
So what are you worried about? He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to hang you out dry. He's not like some of your friends. See, some of your friends, I guarantee you, if somebody gets a big inheritance, they got lots of friends. Oh, in fact, isn't that in the Bible, like the prodigal son? Remember that? He got his inheritance and he had friends coming out of the woodwork. But remember the kind of the end of the story? Whenever his friend spent all his money and he's trying to make ends meet and he's eating food meant for pigs, where was his friends? Where was his friend say, you know what, dude? I mean, when you had it, you lent it to me. I mean, you blessed me, so I don't got a lot, but I'm going to make sure you have a dinner. I'm going to make sure you eat. No, his friends, they don't care. You know, it wasn't about him. But remember the end of the story? He came back to his father who loves him no matter what. You know, I don't care about your friends, but I do care about your Jesus. I do care about your father. Your father loves you. And you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You say, well, Craig, you know the outcome? Nope. Don't know. Well, who cares? Well, I mean, I do care, okay? But I know the one that's in control. All right? I mean, you know. Anyway, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I read this a lot as well. I'm going to read from New Living just because I'm already in the New Living version. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. And that's where we're at right now. We don't depend on our own understanding. You know, faith is putting our trust in God and, you know, that's it. Yeah, but I don't understand. Okay, you're being scriptural. A lot of you are being scriptural, you don't even know it. Because I've heard people say, well, Craig, I don't understand. Okay, good. Yeah, but I don't understand. The Bible did never say you're going to understand. The Bible says to put your trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, whether you understand or don't understand. You understand that? Surely you understand. The point is that you're not going to always understand. You're going to face things that you don't understand, and you wonder why this is happening. You know? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. Some people think I do. I don't know what it is. I don't have all the answers. My grandfather didn't have all the answers. My dad don't have all the answers. But Jesus is the answer. You sing about it. Remember the song? We sing about Jesus is the answer. But sometimes I don't know that we really believe he's the answer. Every time people try to ask me for answers, I do this because I'm just me. They'll say, what's the answer? Jesus. Well, that's not really telling me a whole lot. Jesus. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to put your trust in God. So that's what I do. I put my trust in God. You know what? God cannot and will not fail every time. Cannot and will not fail. And let's say God loves me. I mean, I know God loves me a ton, but God loves you just as much. See, that's the thing. You have to know that he loves you. Know that he cares about you. Know he cares about your well-being. Knows he cares about what you care about. You know, I know people are freaking out. They're like, well, I might as well just close my business down. I might as well do this. Might as well do that. Well, you might as well shut up and trust God. Well, I'm concerned about the future. But see, I know who holds my future. I'm not concerned about that. No government official holds my future. Do you realize that a government official is not going to affect my 2020, my 2021, my 2022? They say, yeah, but what if they tax you more? Well, then God can give me more to be taxed. That's my attitude. God can give me more to be taxed more. Well, what about this and what about that? Like I said, what about God? Isn't that more important? Isn't the things of God more important? You know, I do believe, and I'm guilty as much as all of the rest of us, and I understand we want to know what's going on, but I actually yesterday, actually I'm glad for yesterday, because I love sports. And yesterday there was football on. So that means that I had something else to watch besides what all is going on in all the other channels. I got to watch football. You know, then I got to go watch my son race. I mean, you know, I had a great, great night. You know, today I get to watch football again. I get to pray for the Cowboys that they might actually eventually somehow figure out a way to win a game. I get to watch something that's near and dear to my heart. I mean, you know, we get to find out who actually is the NASCAR champion. They're going to find that out today. They don't have to count votes. They just run a race. It's really easy. There's four guys, and whoever finishes in front of those rest of the three, they win. As long as they didn't cheat. There are times that sometimes they do cheat, and then they have taken the win away before, so I guess I never thought about that. But anyway, usually we know the winner. But, you know, I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy my day. Because this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? He made tomorrow. He made the next day, the next year. He made them all. And I know some people that say that every day, but they don't do that every day. This is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And when I don't know what to do, I'm just going to rejoice. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. And then what's the next part? It says, New Living says this, seek his will in all you do. God, you know, I got this business, and I don't know what the future is, so what do I need to do to prepare for the future? He'll give you the right plan. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So if you don't understand what's going on and how to get through and how to navigate your next few years in life or whatever it might be, ask God. Trust God. And don't even worry about it. My God is my source. That's something else. So you have to realize your job is not your source. Your parents are not your source. Your God is your source. And God loves you and he wants to take care of you. And of course, he's your source. You know? We all know scriptures that we know. Want me to import something from Facebook? I don't want to import anything from Facebook. Sometimes, you know, your Bible program wants you to do this, wants you to do that. You know, a scripture that's not in my notes, but we can all quote it. We all know it. And it's, it's good. It's talking about God being your source. Philippians 4:19. This New Living says this. And the same God who takes care of me, that's Paul's saying, the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, the same God takes care of me will also take care of you. The same God takes care of you will take care of me. How's he going to take care of us? Well, he'll supply all our needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all our needs are met. And a lot of people, they say, well, Craig, that's a money scripture right there. No, it's not. It doesn't say anything about money. It says something about needs. There's things that you need that are not monetary. There's things that you need that you can't buy. You can't buy happiness. You can buy a lot of stuff that you think will make you happy, but ultimately you cannot buy happiness. In fact, if you'll look at people's life, it is interesting to watch someone who is a driven businessman or businesswoman, and they'll be driven to make all this money, to reach the pinnacle of success, to be what someone, be on the cover of these magazines, and people say, they're a successful person. They might have lost their family, their wife, their husband, or whatever to reach that. I know people who have. And then once they get there, they find out it's kind of lonely at the top. They have the cars, they have the houses, plural. They got a house here and a house there, house everywhere. I know people that they have houses in Europe and houses in Florida and houses in California, houses all over the place. Wish I knew them a lot better. But anyway, I know some, but they get to the top and they find out they're not really that happy. And you know what usually makes them happy? Giving. I mean, you find out, whether it's giving to the church, a lot of times you find out they start these foundations, and they're going to save the whales, they're going to save the rainforest, they're going to save the starving people in this country, in that country. They're going to create schools, have orphanages. They found out all that money didn't make them happy. What started making them happy is when they started giving that money to make other people happy. But what we need is not always financial. But God said he's going to provide whatever we need. What do you need? Maybe today you need peace. Maybe today, you need health. Maybe you need whatever it might be. But the same God that supplies my need will supply your need. It's just that simple. Whatever you need, physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, God has what you need. You know what? There is nothing that you need that God does not have, or he will not provide or supply. Supply, that's that word, full supply. Now, some of us, not all of us, we keep a supply in our pantry. I remember this is something that kind of made me mad a little bit, but it's okay. Obviously I spent a lot of time traveling with my grandparents on the road, and my grandparents and actually myself, because we spent a lot of time at hotels, we had our own little kitchen thing that we'd rolled into our hotel room, and it was full of supplies, different things you might need for sandwiches or whatever. And my grandmother and my grandfather, they always had tea, and so they always had tea there. And so now you have to understand, if you go to different parts of the country, it's kind of hard to find certain brands that you're used to finding in your side of the country. So my grandmother said, "Craig, can you go find me this certain kind of tea?" I think it was Louisiana tea. Now, Louisiana tea is probably pretty easy to find in Louisiana, but it's not really easy to find in some states in the Union. I went to 4 stores to find Louisiana tea because I'm thinking, if my grandmother doesn't have her tea, she's not going to be happy with me. 4 stores all over. And you understand, this is before we had all the GPS and stuff. I mean, it wasn't just easy to find these 4 stores to go to. Didn't have my iPhone. Okay, I'm typing in the store. I mean, I'm asking someone, "Hey, do you know where another grocery store is? You guys don't have it. Maybe, well, you can try the one down here, the one down there." I come back with another brand of tea. I said, meanwhile, I tried my best. I did. I mean, I spent a couple hours trying to find you the tea that you wanted. I mean, I didn't stop, you know, till I found you that tea, but I couldn't find it. And I bought her Lipton because it was the only brand I could find. You know, I mean, there's other brands that I didn't know anything about, but I got something I know. So when I got back, you know, with my box of Lipton tea, kind of feeling like I was not successful, here's what my grandma says. Well, that's okay. I have another box of Louisiana tea right here. I just needed to make sure I had a full supply, so I was stocked up. See, having a supply is having backups behind what you have now. It's not just having what you need right now, but having a full supply that can continue to supply your need every day. The thing about it is we could have waited until we got back home or went somewhere else. If she would have told me, okay, if you can find the tea, fine. If you can't find the tea, I still got a box. And that box was going to get her through the meeting. You realize she did not need any tea. Now, I was being diligent. You understand, I believe in doing what I'm told to do. And I did my wherewithal to do what I was supposed to do. And I couldn't do it. But, you know, because she already had a supply, what I did didn't even matter. But here, we already have a supply. And see, a lot of us, we're trying to supply ourselves instead of relying on God, which is our full supply. It's just that simple. All right, I want to get back to my sermon. That was a side thought. I'm going to skip back. We're here in Philippians 4. Actually, I'm going to go back to 4:4. I said 4:6, but I'm going to go back to 4:4. That's what I run in the 40, 4:4. I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's a joke for some of you athletic people that no, I do not run a 4:4:40. If I did, I'd be playing football today in the NFL. Because 300-pound guys running a 4:4 are really needed. All right. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. That's why I started out today. You know, it doesn't say only be full of joy when you're having a good day. It says always be full of joy. And I want to repeat myself, rejoice. Well, what's that mean? That means every day, be happy. Yeah, but this happened yesterday. Be happy about it. Well, I don't understand. God's still God. Be happy. All right, it goes on to say, let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6, what I wanted to get to. Don't worry about anything. If you're worried about stuff right now, don't. Don't worry. See, a lot of you are singing the song. You're singing the freak out song when you should be singing, don't worry, be happy. All right, don't worry about anything. Well, what should I do then? It says instead pray about everything. Well, how do I do that? It says, see, the Bible actually tells us what to do and we don't even follow it. It says tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. That's how you pray. God, this is what I need. And then see down here, remember, say God, what I need down here, it says he's going to supply all my need. So this God, this is what I need. And thank you for everything you've done. And then it says right there, and then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So you know what? You're not going to understand why you have peace. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Like I said, I got peace. I prayed about it. Ask God what I need. You know what I need? I need to be blessed. I need to have a good 2021. I need to have a good 2022. He's going to supply it. It doesn't say, your government shall supply all your need. Some people think that. I will say that. It says, my God shall supply all my need. It says, whatever I need, don't worry about it. Just ask. So I'm not worried. If I need something, all I got to do is ask, because you know what? He has a full supply. It's really that simple. I'm not worried. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, which is a scripture we've read a lot over the so-called pandemic. I'm calling it so-called because, and I get it. I understand, you know, people have died. People have got sick, you know. And that it is sad, but I'm ready to have normal. And, you know, we all know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what? In the future days, people are going to die and get sick. And I'm sad about it, but it's going to happen. That's what the devil wants to happen. That's what the plan is. I read it to you all the time. John 10:10, New Living says, the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. But my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. You know, I'm going to let God have his purpose. And I said this Friday night, I'm going to say it again tonight, today, because I want everybody here, I want everybody online to hear. We are not ever closing this church again for an in-person experience. I don't care what comes our way. Now, if you want to watch online, you're more than welcome. We might take some precautions or whatever in here, but we're not going to close. The Bible says to not forsake assembling yourself together, and we're not going to close again for an in-person experience. So if you want to, if I'm the only one here, if it's just me and my family come, I'll make them come. And the other pastors, well, you know, maybe we'll make the whole staff come just so we have someone here. Okay. I mean, the pastoral staff is definitely going to come, but maybe I'll make the whole Kenneth Singer Ministry staff come because they need to be here anyway. All right, but I don't care who comes, we're showing up. Because, you know, I'm not going to, because the deal is that they don't want us to close just for a pandemic. They want us to close forever. Well, you can do the same thing online. Well, the Bible doesn't say that we should meet together online. Oh, so, well, yeah, but Paul didn't have an online experience. Well, neither should you. Well, they didn't have online back then. Online is a tool to be able to go out, and we're reaching nations right now. We got people watching us from nations around the world that are watching us right now. In fact, we have more people watching us right now that are out there than right here. We need to realize that. And that's a tool that we can reach nations right now. I know people who stay up in the middle of the night to watch this service live. You think that's commitment? You can't even wake up in the morning to come here. These people stay up till 3 a.m, set their alarm for 3 a.m. to watch it live when they could actually watch it later on. But it's important to them. You know, God is good. Anyway, 2 Timothy 1:6. This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So, in the other translation says stir up the gift. I like this, fan the flames. We need to fan the flames that's on the inside of us. Well, what's in there? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. We talked about a lot. You should be feared now because God has not given you. And timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. It's time for us to let the power, love, and the self-discipline come out. And you're not going to let it come out if you have a spirit of fear. God wants to show forth his power to this world. And the way he does that is through us. But not just power, but love. I mean, we have an opportunity to love a divided nation that's hurting during all this time. To show forth God's love. And it's all in there. It's all in there. I'm trying to hurry to finish up on time because my dad always says we need to finish right at 11:30. All right. James 1:2. I'll leave you with this. It says, well, I'm not going to leave it. I'm not finished after the scripture, but it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Folks, today in this world, we have an opportunity for great joy. Some of you are not really joyful and happy about what you see, but you know what? The Bible says that not to be moved by what you see, what you feel, what you think. We're not moved by those things. We can continue to have not just a little bit of joy, but the Bible says great joy. And you can't have great joy if you don't start out having peace. The peace that passes all understanding. And you know, once you have peace, you can have great joy. You know, I get it. The world is having turmoil. It's going to continue to have turmoil. In fact, the Bible says the world will have continue to have turmoil until the day that Jesus comes back. You know, it's going to end. Actually, the world will continue to have turmoil. We just won't be here. Now, when's that, Craig? I don't know. I'm not going to write a book about it either. Those people died. You know, they made a lot of money selling their books. I don't know when it's going to happen. All I know is that it will happen, because that's what it says in the book. You know, I know some people are ready to go to heaven. Some people, like, they didn't want to finish 2020. They're like, okay, I'm ready to go to heaven right now. You know, and if 2020's year couldn't get any crazier, it did. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to get more crazy. Before Christmas, it's going to be more crazy. But thank God, we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas. That's all. I can guarantee you a couple of things: that we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth. And then January 1, we're going to celebrate a new year. And 2021 is going to be even a better year, and I'm excited about 2021, and you should too. Now, I said all these things to actually get to my real point. My real point is people are all in turmoil. People are all upset. People are all crazy. I know, you know, a lot of fanatical, you know, people all concerned about a lot of things, you know, and, you know, because people did vote. People didn't vote. We don't know who voted. People who died voted. I mean, it was so important to Lexington that there were people coming out of the graves. So you say, did that happen? I don't know. That's what I read on the internet, okay? I'm not here to tell you what, I don't know what happened, okay? I really don't. I don't know. I'm just going to laugh about it because, you know, I have an opportunity for great joy. But here's my whole point. This is the whole point of the thing. If we were as excited about having people vote Jesus as voting for our candidates, you know, a lot of people are excited about, well, vote for this, vote for that person, you know, whether it be city, state, local, you know, election. But the Bible says that we should all be holding the vote Jesus sign. Because you know what? Voting for an individual can make you know who's going to be in office for a few years, whether it be a two-year term, four-year term, whatever it might be. But voting for Jesus is a vote for eternity. And I wish our church was excited about going out and helping people cast the ultimate correct vote. Because, I mean, I'm not here to tell you that you voted for the correct person or not the correct person. I might have my own personal opinions, but really, ultimately, that's between you and God. But I'm here to tell you there is one correct candidate, and that's Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, if you'll vote for the right candidate, he'll change your life for an eternity. Not only does he come with, I mean, you know, he has all these tools because, you know, we can trust in him. I mean, he is the answer. He's the ultimate answer. But we're all in a tizzy about our natural men and women candidates. But Jesus, I mean, that's what every one of us should be out here. I mean, do you realize the whole point is to go out and win the world to the kingdom of God? That's the whole point. That's the ultimate platform. And I just wish, I wish the Christians would be as excited about Jesus as they're excited about their candidates. Now, I'm not saying you can't be excited about your candidate. There's nothing wrong with being excited. You know what? But when you vote Jesus, you never have disappointments. Jesus is never going to let you down. He's never going to break promises. He's never going to say, well, I voted for this guy, and when he got in, he didn't do what I voted for. That's called politics, folks. But I guarantee you, if you vote for Jesus, he'll do exactly what he says he's going to do. It's already written down. I mean, you know, these laws are more powerful than the Constitution. These laws have to be followed. I know this is an iPad. This is actually not the Bible, but my Bible's at home. I'm home, okay? But this is my Bible I'm using right now. And so I'm not saying that Apple is ultimate. I'm saying that the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, remember, that's the book for me. I stand up on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Man, if we could get a hold of the Bible and read the Bible. I mean, so I know some people said, and we all need to read the Constitution. Well, that's not a bad thing to do. But if you read the Constitution and have never read the Bible, then shame on you. Because do you realize the Constitution is written on biblical principles, whether you believe it or not? The Declaration of Independence is written on biblical principles. You know, it's all biblical principles, so maybe we should read the Bible. Because the Bible is the answer. The Bible tells the answer. Jesus is the answer, and the rules are written. Our authority has been given. And let's get excited about the ultimate candidate, Jesus Christ. And let's go out and tell our neighbors and friends about the ultimate candidate, the one that will really bring a change. Not for the next 4 years or 8 years, but for your life and eternity. If we really want to change this world, I do believe in voting. I believe everyone should vote. That's our God-given right. And I also right as an American citizen. But I also believe that we should all get people to vote for Jesus. And it does seem that what's happening with this, and it probably happens every election, we've kind of got our eyes off of Jesus and on to candidates, the news cycle, and also COVID-19 has not helped. I mean, you know, our eyes have kind of swerved from Jesus, and you know, we're all concerned about all kinds of things, but I just want to leave you with vote Jesus. Vote Jesus, like I say, yes, who's the one that provides peace. If you want real peace, it's not going to come in a candidate. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to finish 2020. You know, it's going to be my best year ever. 2021 is going to be a greater year. And it can be a greater year for you, but you know what? I'm not confessing for your life. The Bible says that you can have what you say, not what I say. So I'm not praying over your life, period. If you want 2020 to be a great year, you talk about it. If you want 2021 to be a great year, you talk about it. You decide what's going to happen. Don't let some politician decide what's going to happen with your life. Vote Jesus. See, you know, when we vote Jesus, we keep on voting Jesus all the time because, you know, when everyone's like giving all this like fuzzy stuff and everything, you know, it's like, Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the answer. So homework. Next week, let's vote Jesus. Everyone bring one person. We're filling the auditorium up next week. All right. All right, break. And I joke about that, but I'm being serious. You know, if we would get one person to vote Jesus, and let's just make it 2021, find one person to try coming to church. Voting Jesus. And you realize that we won't have enough places for everybody if we want to double the church, it's pretty easy. Get out your politicians. I mean, maybe put a sign in your yard. Vote Jesus. The people say, are you crazy? Maybe. Bible says we're peculiar people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person. Father, we thank you for bringing peace to this world. Father, we thank you for just everything you're doing here. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to bring forth life and liberty and happiness to each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you not only that should we have peace, but Father, help us to go out once again to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ to everybody. And help us to help people to make the ultimate vote. Help people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I've never voted Jesus in my life. My life is empty. But this morning I want to vote Jesus. If you've never been saved and you want to be saved this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you cast the ultimate vote this morning. Today is your voting day. Or maybe you're here and you said, Craig, one time I was voting Jesus for a while, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. I want to come back and rededicate my life to God. So anyone here that wants to be saved or wants to rededicate yourself to God, lift your hand right now. Lift your hand right now all across the auditorium. If you're here today and you want to make a change today, you want to cast the ultimate vote, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you. If there anyone is here, anyone that's watching us online, we thank you, Father, that if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, that you'll send laborers across their path. And we thank you, Father, that they will make that ultimate vote. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Can we sing?
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.